as an eagle. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And in so, even as he took of the honey, his eyes were opened. And as we begin to take of that sweetness, our eyes are opened. We begin to see things in a spiritual way we do not see before. It was Samson, that Nazarite, that man of God that said, I will take no lower stimulus. I will keep myself in subjection and make a vow to give myself in holy separation only unto Yahweh, only unto God. That passing by saw a lion who is out to devour, being hungry, slain. And there he found the honeycomb, and he found the sweetness in the strong, and the strong had been taken over by that which is little as building sweetness. And he took out of that sweetness strength for himself. And so he says to us, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. Sweetness and the sincere milk of the word. My word comes from you. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. When you come into my presence, I can tell that you have not been down in the hog pen feeding the swine. You don't smell like you've been among them, but you've been up on the high Mount Lebanon. You're smelling like the cedars that shall never decay, like the tall, stately saint of God. You're up there tending the orchards, the many orchards and the fruit up in the sunshine of God's love, up in the high places, up in the hill and the mount of God in my presence. You smell like you've come from the mount of God. You smell like you've been working in the orchards of God. You smell like you've been walking among the tall, stately cedars. Not down in the mud and the mire. Not in the swine's pen. He says, that is a delight to me. That is a delight to me. Thou hast ravished my heart, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. With one of thine eyes. And we'll have to admit that even at this state, that both of our eyes, we're not a holy single eye yet. But even when we turn an eye to him, it ravishes, it pulls on his heart. And when we turn and begin to look with the eyes of love to him, he appreciates it. He dwells in the praises of his saints. And praises are not just words, but they are that which come from way down in the spirit. That comes out in singing. That comes out in praise. That comes out in worship. That comes out in a mind that is thankful to God. That is so thankful that he has brought us and taken us out of the miry clay and set our feet on that solid rock, Christ Jesus. Made us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ the righteous. Given us the promise of eternal life with him throughout the countless ages have come. And their hearts are overcome with his love and his mercy and his long suffering and his kindness. Having been forgiven much, loveth much. We would just weep. We would just wash his feet. We would just take our submission and wash his feet, humble ourselves, being unworthy to even unloose the latchets of his sandals. Because this is the one who's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. This is the one who, in a world that is full of unclean spirits, in a world that lies in the lap of the wicked one, yet this is one that has not come with unclean spirits, but with the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of God himself, in which he says to be constantly filled up full of the Holy Spirit, whereas there is no excess. Praying, singing songs, making melody in your hearts unto God. Praise the name of Jesus. It just draws his spirit near when we're loving him and praising him. There are a number of Greek words in the New Testament for God dwelling with his people. One of them is meno, meaning to remain. But another one has the word oikos in it, meaning home. And it means to feel at home. To feel at home. He just feels at home in us. And you know, when our minds are centered in Him and we begin to love Him and praise Him, He just feels at home. Last Sunday night, the service didn't get started really well until, it was a pretty good service, but it didn't get started until about 10:30 or 11, went on past midnight. Oh, the drawing. And I had people I had to counsel, and I just had a terrible time. And I put one off for a while, and I asked me, wouldn't mind to wait a little bit longer, and then I went in counseling, was drawing, and somebody said, this drives me crazy, I want to be in there. There's a drawing. There is nothing that can really draw a man or a woman continually and draw them to that place where it means so much, like the presence of God. You can give your children, you can invite people to parties, and you can invite them to games, and you can have watermelon feasts, and you can have all kinds of things. And they may be enjoyable to the flesh, and it may be a good time of fellowship, but there's nothing like the Holy Spirit to draw and to satisfy. And without it, we're missing something that is ours. And I want to tell you tonight that God wants us, may I borrow on the last two sermons I preached and say appropriate, He wants us to appropriate His presence. Let me give you an illustration. Many of us have been saying, Lord, why don't you give us your spirit? Lord, I'm hungry. Don't you know I'm hungry, Lord? Lord, I'm asking. Can't you hear me call, Lord? Lord, I'm even crying. Don't you see the tears? Lord, it's been a long time. Don't you realize how long it's been? Lord, they're receiving, Lord. Don't you love me too? Lord, I love you, Lord. Lord, why is it I don't feel the presence as I should feel it? Lord, I've begged, I've supplicated, I've asked, I've worried, I've doubted, I've worked, I've prayed, I've tried, I've struggled, I've wrestled. But alas, Lord, why dost thou hide thy face from me? Let me give you a story in another vein, but the principle applies here, I think. This minister of God saw in a vision the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was talking to him, and he was telling him truths. And as he was telling him, a demon came in between him and the Lord Jesus Christ, and there he was right between him, blocking the vision part of the time, and began to make a ruckus, and began to make so much noise and clatter and jangle and ruckus that he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying to him in the vision. And he became disturbed in his spirit. He said, Lord, why do you let him do that? Why don't you rebuke him? Why don't you make him stop, Lord? I can't hear you. Lord, you want to talk to me. And if you want to talk to me, I can't hear you. Why do you let him do this? And it began to be very important words, and I couldn't hear a thing that the Lord's saying. And that demon's in my way, Lord. And finally the Lord put, this all happened in the vision, he put in his mind the suggestion. Just like demons put suggestions in mind, God sometimes comes down and just drops in your heart something. Have you ever had that happen? He just came and dropped in your heart, it's like turning a light on. And you say, oh yeah, I never thought of that. That's a great idea. I think I'll do it. And the Lord dropped down and said, why don't you rebuke him? And he said, I rebuke you, demon. Shut up and get out of the way. And it fell flat on the floor and was lying there kind of whimpering. And he said, I command you to get up and get out of here. And it fled away. And then the Lord added the words and said, I couldn't speak to you and cause you to heal if you hadn't done that. And he said, Lord, I don't understand this. You didn't say you wouldn't. You said you couldn't. I don't understand why you couldn't. But the upshot of the whole thing was that God had given him the power over the evil one and had invested him with his power, had now gone away and given him a certain responsibility. Now by him, I mean us. And having given us the power of attorney to use his name. Now why do you suppose that Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name? Do you know? Well, think of it in the natural. Why does anybody in the natural give anybody the power of attorney to use his name? Only one reason. Because he's not going to be there to use his own name. He's going away. So he will be acting in his stead legally. So Jesus went away. What did Elijah do when he went away? What happened? The mantle of Elijah fell upon Elisha, who was standing below. Now, what did the mantle represent? Well, what was it made of? It was made from the sheep. It was a sheepskin. What is a sheepskin? You get it when you graduate. It's your diploma. It means you have attained this position and you are now licensed to operate. The word sheepskin in our universities comes from the case of Elijah and Elisha and the sheepskin, the mantle. The mantle was the robe that the prophet wore that represented his badge of office. That was his sheepskin. When Elijah went away and the mantle fell upon Elisha, it wasn't just, oh, his clothes fell on me. I don't need his clothes. I got clothes of my own. You see, it was something else besides that. This was the mantle of Elijah. And that doctor's degree that he had in the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean, was conferred upon him. It came upon his shoulders because he was just one of the sons of the prophet who asked for a double portion in his spirit, as the Hebrew says, meaning I want to receive the portion of the firstborn who received a double portion in thy spirit, having the responsibility to take care of the farm, take care of the children and the family when the father went away, and receiving twice as much as the others to do it, not twice as much as the father, but he receives from the father twice as much as the other. And so having received the portion of the firstborn, he received the responsibility, and what do you see him doing? Teaching the sons of the prophets immediately after Elijah, who was the teacher of the sons of the prophet, went away, he resumed the office. And what did he do when the mantle fell upon him? He went down to the Jordan. And what was the Jordan? It was the hindrance between one part of the land and the other as far as travel. So what did he do? He smacked the hindrance in the face with what? His badge. With that which represented the power. That which said, I am invested with this power of attorney. I now can put on me the robe that he had on him. And I am now a teacher. And he took that and he smote the waters and they departed. What do we put upon us that he left? His righteousness is imputed to us, and he has cast his robe of righteousness about us. Christ has been cast about us. In Revelation 12, we see the woman sun-clad, clad with the sun, and the moon under her feet. The moon is the old covenant. It has no light of its own. It borrows light from the sun, and then it reflects. The old covenant has no light without the new. All the types are all reflected back from the new. It shines off only because of the new. Without the new, there'll be no reason to leave the old. That's why the Jew shall die in his sins if he accepts not Jesus as his Messiah. For he is his own God. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Jesus said, he that hath not the Son hath not the Father. You shall die in my Son, in your sins. And so, the reason that most of us don't get what we want from the Lord is that we fail to appropriate it. And we say, why, Lord, don't you give it? And he says, why don't you take it? Since I have already given it. Since I gave myself on Calvary, since it has been finished, since he finished the work that he came to do, and as the book of Hebrews said, that he has died once and for all, and by his sins we were healed, we need only now appropriate what was done for us, for he bruised the headship of Satan. And now we shall tread on serpents. And he said, now in this world, I send you forth like sheep among wolves. Now anybody, any master that's going to send forth sheep among wolves, who loves his sheep, must going to be doing something to protect those sheep out among the wolves. And Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, which is another way of saying in this world you shall have wolves about you. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the wolves. I have overcome the world. Well, that's all right for you, Lord. You overcame the world, but how about me? He said, I am no more in the world. I have finished the work thou hast given me to do. I have finished my course. Now I come to thee. But I pray for them. And now we have the mantle of Jesus Christ upon us. Greater works than these shall ye do than I have done, because I go to my Father. But I will not leave you comfortless, orphanos, in this case, not Paracletos this time, meaning Paul, the one who stands beside you as your advocate or lawyer, but this time, I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you as an orphan without a father. I will come unto you. I will come unto you. And we are his house. And we are members of his body. And he that has been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. And him who the Son has set free is free indeed. Now that didn't mean in theory. It didn't even say indeed. That means in whatever deeds you do, you are free. I submit unto you, and this is about 100 times larger than most of our minds will accept tonight, that we have privileges in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have not yet had the boldness to take and to face and appropriate. And all the time we keep begging in our unbelief and blindness of spirit for years, saying, oh, Lord, give it to me. He says, my son, I have given it, but you won't use it. I have given it, but you won't believe it, and therefore you won't use it. Turn your dead faith in the living faith. And so as he said to this minister, I could not speak to you unless you rebuked it. Now we stand in his place, and we must do what he did. And he went out and healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead, and did all these things. And we are also to do these same things. He has put them in our power. Even he said, thy sins be forgiven him. And the Jews said, who can forgive sins but God only? And the premise was right. They just didn't know who they were talking to. But the fact remained that the scripture goes on to say that whosoever sins you remit should be remitted. That you shall loose shall be loosed. That should be bound, that you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And he not only said that to Peter, he said that to all the other the disciples and apostles in another place. The same promise. For the promise is not just to him, but to us also. And so we are to go out and disciple, make disciples of him. And we are also, whomsoever you put out of the church, he puts out of the church in heaven. Paul says, turning him over to the devil. Oh, well, I'll just go to Barnabas' church then. No, you won't do any such thing. If you go there, you're still not in the church of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. There is a lot more power governmentally in the church of Jesus Christ than most people have any idea of. And there's more power individually if we work together, for no one member and organ of the body can do anything without the others. God has not called you, if you're not, to be an island unto yourself, to be a loner. Well, God just called me to be a loner. No, you have called yourself to be a loner and refused to recognize the entire body of Christ. This is why it's necessary when we come together that we all move together in the Spirit. This is why we have to break a service. This is why it doesn't roar with tremendous power with a heavenly choir, just all singing different parts. We should all be singing the various parts of the same song in harmony. But we are not yet integrated. We have not yet obeyed the Lord and fulfilled the prayer of Jesus, Father, that they may be one as we are. We are not yet one with one another and with God as Jesus was and as we shall be. But when we come into a service, I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God and by the light of the Spirit that if you sit there and act like a dead church member just because you're used to sitting like you're in a theater when you're in church and watching what goes on the stage and maybe mouth a few songs, put a little money in the offering, you are not a living organism. You are not functioning as a member. You're making the body sick because you are a sick member. That is, you are diseased. That is, you are not at ease. You are not at ease. You're at dis-ease. And so there is no freedom there. I'm not trying to run you down, trying to build you up. And say that it is necessary when we come into this to recognize that we are the body of Christ. And many not discerning the Lord's body are sick, and many sick and sleepy among you, they sleep in death, because we're not discerning. Israel could not take little tiny Ai after taking great big stronghold Jordan of Jericho because there was disunity in the camp because of Achan and his family. And they had to come out of the way first. No flesh had to be burned before they could go on and take Ai. And that principle holds true. There are many, many examples right through the scriptures that teach us that there's got to be a unity. And I'm asking each one, when you come into this building, to reverence God, respect the body of Christ, and begin to flow with it by faith, and begin to appropriate the power of the living God. That's your claim. It's your just claim. Having the Holy Spirit, you have an earnest, the earnest, which is the title deed of the inheritance to come. It's that bag of dirt that came from the same field as the field and the written parchment that goes with it that says, analyze that field and analyze this dirt and read the attestations and witnesses and that which is therein on the scroll, and you'll find that I own that field. I have a just claim. This is the gold of that great gold mine, that piece of gold with the title deed to it saying, that is my gold mine. This is that portion of the Holy Ghost which is just like the rest of the Holy Ghost, which says that I have a claim, an inheritance, that someday I'm going to get the rest of my inheritance, and this is the foretaste. And having that title deed, you now have, by His Spirit, a just claim on the Holy Ghost, who has promised to pour out His Spirit upon you while living on this earth. Although He won't give you the rest of the of Himself until you have a capacity to retain it. There are people that have received brimful, and they have prayed to the Lord, and said, Lord, stop, I can't take any more. Now, I'm sure most of us are not at a place to ask the Lord to stop yet. But the body can't take even so much. You can't stay at a high place of excitement continually. But someday, we'll have bodies that can take all the rest, and it can be full all the time. My! Doesn't that stagger your imagination, excite your spirit? But we have a title deed. But you know, a title deed doesn't do anything for you unless you exercise that claim. But you say, yeah, well, I got my title deed and I want it and I asked for it, but I am being contested. Well, then you better exercise your claim. You better contest this thing through and demand your rights. You better demand your claim. You better say, this is my claim. It's mine. I have a right to it. I got the proof and I'm going to have it. But if you say, well, maybe it's not mine. Maybe I can't really have it. Perhaps it was a mistake. You don't think you're going to win, do you? When you contest it? And that's what a lot of us Christians do. Well, I guess God's blessing isn't for me. I guess the title deed really is for them. I guess they've got the Holy Ghost, the earnest of the inheritance. I guess we don't have it. I guess I don't have the title deed. I guess I don't have a title deed to the glory. The Holy Ghost isn't tongues. It's glory. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it didn't say the Holy Ghost came down upon them and spake in tongues. It said the Holy Ghost fell upon them and they spake in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave utterance. It isn't just speaking in tongues that you can be satisfied with. You speak in tongues. But he is the glory. Full of glory. Hallelujah. And I submit that if we begin to take the word of God, and like Jesus, it stands written, and begin to command the winds and the waves to stand still, as we are out upon life's sea, what to walk on top of the situation, and the nations may be storm-tossed, and the waves, and the roaring, the seas roaring, the fomenting with hatred, violence, looting, and sin. And you're out there in the nations. You're not of it, but you're there right in the midst of the storm on the water. Just walk on top of the situation, my friend. And don't look at the situation, but look at Jesus who said, come. Come. I am. I am everything you need. Come. And just look at him, no matter how impossible. And when your boat is about to be swamped, command those storms that come against your soul to cease raging. Command there to be a great peace. For he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a peace, of love and a peace and a sound mind. We don't have to have troubled minds. He's given us a sound mind. But we're like the people out on the farm on a hot day, who leave the screen door open, and all the flies are all through the house. I hate these flies. I wish they weren't here. And you go around swatting them, brushing them off, and they come back, and you brush them off, and they come back, and you brush them off, and they come back. You keep casting them off, and they come back. You keep rebuking those flies, and they come back. You open the door, my friend. Shut the door. Kill them, spray them good, get rid of them, and keep the door shut. Then you'll have a house without those demons in there. Shut the mind to them. Clean the mind out and shut it to them. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Prove that which is holy and acceptable in his sight. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now these are not just scriptures to memorize. They're scriptures to live by. Resist him and he'll flee from you. It stands written, I will not have it. My, how many saints are suffering. Because when the devil knocks, come on in. Oh, I shouldn't be letting him in. We're like Little Red Riding Hood at the door. And there's that wolf out there. We can see his fangs and the saliva's rolling. Oh, I shouldn't let him in, but here I go. See? Well, like Snow White with a witch out there, wanting to give us that juicy apple. Oh, I know something's wrong here, but that apple looks so delicious. That sin just, holy, it would taste good. But behind it is a demon spirit that's bent on your death. We just got to wake up. Learn not to go by the saliva and our appetite, but by the word, by the light, by the facts of God. I'm glad he's given the light down in the valley that we might see the way. Hallelujah. Amen. I haven't sang that song for a long time. Not many of us know it very well. How many know that song? Come on up here and let's sing that song. Praise the Lord. He put a light down in the valley that I might see the way. He takes my hand and leads me on until a perfect day. He gives to me the promise, gives to me a promise, the greatest ever known, that I should live with him eternally. You know that song, don't you? From the past, you know it?